As they're making their way out, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter number 16. And I'm just going to read from verse 12 through to 15. John chapter number 16, from verse 12 to verse 15. I still have many, John chapter 16, verse 12 through to verse 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Shall we pray? Spirit of the living God, breathe upon your word this morning. Let this word come alive unto us. Let it encourage us. Let it empower us. Let it reveal unto us, O God, your plan, your purpose for our lives in this season. Lord, I ask, O Lord, that you anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word flow out of me this morning like the stream of living water. I pray, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people. Let this word make sense to the deepest part of their being, so that together at the end of the service today, we would have been transformed by your word. Thank you because you will do this. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say big amen. A few weeks ago, we started on a series that I've titled The Advantage. And we've had two Sundays talking about this. Last week, we had to interrupt the series because of Mother's Day. And today, I just want us to continue in that series. And I'm going to be teaching this morning by the grace of God on what I've titled Guided by the Spirit. Guided by the Spirit. Now, I believe it's going to be a short one because we don't have much time. Now, can I reflect on the fact that we've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to give us an advantage in life? We mentioned that to be at an advantage is to be specially or favorably positioned in order to be able to succeed, attain, or achieve something. So to be at an advantage is to be specially positioned to be able to achieve, attain, or attain something. Now, Jesus, when he was going, said, it is to your advantage that I go away. In other words, Jesus was saying, the Holy Spirit in you is better than me, Jesus, beside you. The Holy Spirit in you is better than me beside you. Of course, they didn't get that because they were already used to seeing Jesus and for Jesus to come and bail them out of their troubles and problems, and they've seen him move. They've seen Jesus do miraculous things that they felt they would be worse off without the Lord Jesus. But Jesus gave them the information at that time that it was expedient. Another translation says, it is to your advantage that I go, because if I do not go, I won't be able to send the Holy Spirit who is going to be working with you. And the Holy Spirit coming to be with you is to be to your advantage, is to position you to succeed in life, is to position you to achieve in life, is to position you to attain in life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit. And we said the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, the Bible says, is to convict men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I said sin is the truth about man. Righteousness is the truth about God. Judgment is when there is the collision of these two truths. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, today, by the grace of God, in the passage we have read, the Bible says he's going to guide you, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Let's start from the very basis. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will guide you. If you were to suddenly find yourself in the Amazon forest in South America, and I ask you, which of these three are you going to take? I give you the option of either having a compass, the map of Sydney, and the benefit of a local person, a guide, who knows the terrain very well. Don't forget you are in the Amazon forest. This is about the biggest forest in the world, 5.5 million square kilometers, you know, covering several nations, Brazil, Peru, and a few other South American nations, and you're just dropped in there. And I ask you, what would you prefer to have out of these three? Would you prefer to have a compass, or have the map of Sydney, or a guide to lead you out? Of course, you would choose a guide. It's no brainer at all, right? Because a compass will only tell you you are not east or not west, or it doesn't solve your problem. The map of Sydney is even the worst choice, you know. You don't need a map of Sydney when you are somewhere in South America, you know. But a guide who knows the terrain very well, who's been there, would be the most suitable, would be the best out of these options to get you out of the trouble. Now, the Holy Spirit is our guide in life. Without him, we are as lost as everyone is. Without the Holy Spirit, we are just as lost, as clueless as anyone else. The Bible says he's going to guide you into all truth. That particular statement was made to the apostles primarily because Jesus started by saying, there were things that I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now, you know. You can't handle them. There are certain things I would like to tell you, but you can't handle them. However, when the Spirit of the when the Holy Spirit will come, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, that was primarily given to them, and we see it unfolding in the years after because they were able to be guided into the truth of writing the scriptures and remembering those things that was told them by the Lord Jesus when he was around. They had to put down the gospels after Jesus had left. They put down the epistles. And in fact, he said he's going to guide you of the things to come. And John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Isle of Patmos, was able to put down the things to come. These are things that were never revealed to any man, but it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So primarily applied, it's applicable to the apostles to whom Jesus was speaking at the time. But by extension, it applies to all of us because we all need guidance of the Holy Spirit. We all need guidance in life, and we don't need the guidance of someone who knows the terrain very well. I mean, somebody who is just visiting Perth, for instance, for the first time, it would be ludicrous for me to be asking the person to show me around when I go around because he doesn't even know the place. But the Holy Spirit knows the terrain of life very well and is able to cause us to navigate through it. So the first thing I want you to note here is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guide in life. He's our guide in life. Now, how does the Holy Spirit provide this guidance? Very simple. If you look at verse number 13, look at what he says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Did you see that? For whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell. So you've seen speak twice now. Tell. Number three, still talking about making communication. And he will tell you things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. That's communicating. Okay? He will declare it to you, and all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So you see the word speak twice, you see the word tell once, and you see the word declare two times. in this passage, in this short passage that we've just read, telling us that the guidance that the Holy Spirit will provide will come by the way of communication, by the way of communicating to us. So it's not going to be twisting our head and pushing us in this direction. It's going to communicate to us. And that's the way it will guide us. By the way, to declare means to announce something clearly, firmly, publicly, and officially. According to the Cambridge English Dictionary, is to announce something clearly, firmly, publicly, and officially. Another one says is to say something in an emphatic manner, in a solemn and emphatic manner. So when he says he's going to declare, he's going to make it clear, he's going to make it plain, he's going to make it emphatic, he's going to make it, he's going to declare it firmly, he's going to say it. So the Spirit of the living God guides us by way of communicating to us. It's by way of communication. And that's why it's like our GPS, as it were, in life. What's the difference between the GPS and the compass? The compass, for instance, if I was to ask the compass to give me how to get to my house now, it will give me the direction of my house. Your house is in the northeast, or your house is in the southwest. But to be honest, that doesn't help me because if I locate where southwest is and begin to walk, there will be obstructions on the way. There will probably be, you know, a few trees, inhabitable areas before I get there. So that's why the Holy Spirit is not just a compass. A compass may be relevant to people that are maybe flying in the air, where everywhere you go, you don't have any obstruction. Or maybe on the sea, you don't have any obstruction. But on the land, of course, it's very limited. Even in those places, it still doesn't help you to get into the exact place, because your house does not occupy the entire southeast or the entire southwest of Perth. Your house is a point that you need to locate. And that's why the GPS will say turn right, turn left, move forward, you know, if you've got the correct one, not the one that will get into the midst of the jungle and say you have now reached your destination, you know. So the Holy Spirit provides that guidance. And the guidance that the Holy Spirit provides is by way of speaking to us, by way of telling us, by way of declaring it unto us. And exactly that's actually, somebody will say, yes, exactly what you have just said. Now, the Holy Spirit is supposed to guide by way of speaking. He's supposed to guide by way of telling. He's supposed to guide by way of declaring. But why does he not speak to me? Why is it that the Holy Spirit hates me so much that he does not just speak to me? Now, if the Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit, why has he chosen not to speak to me? Why does he not, he has never spoken to me? Or somebody will say, he knows I am really ready to listen to him. He knows I'm ready to actually do exactly what he would tell me to do. But he still does not speak to me. And you're not alone in that kind of a frustration, as a child of God. There are millions, I believe, around the world who will have the same position. If only the Holy Spirit will tell me exactly what to do, I will do exactly what he has asked me to do. But the problem is, he doesn't speak to me. Now, let's go to the basis of communication. And by the basis of communication, I mean the simplest, straightforward approach to identifying and managing problems with communication. If you speak to any expert in communication, they always go to the first principle whenever they have a problem with communication. And the first principle involves the aspects or the components of communication, of the right communication. And those components will include, one, the source; two, the conveying medium, or what they could refer to as the path or the pathway; and three, the receiver. So each time you have problems with communication, you have to identify, where is the problem coming from? Is it from the source, or from the path, or the problem is with the receiver? So they refer to it as the source, path, receiver concept. Now, so where is the problem coming from in terms of communication? Now, let's talk about the source. We know that the source is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says here, and if we believe the Bible, if we believe the God of the Bible says here, he speaks.
He talks. He tells. He declares. So, except if we don't believe what the Bible has written about this third person of the Holy Spirit, then we have no reason to doubt that the source has no problem. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Because the Bible says he speaks. The Bible says, let God be true. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar. What that means is, whenever God says it, just believe that it is exactly what he has said, and believe that what he has said is the truth. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, if they do not speak according to this word, it's simply because there is no light in them. So the source has no problem. That's where I'm getting to. The problem is of communication is never with the source, because the source is the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, so the source then must be, and this is we're tracing, you know, where the problem may be for some of us that have troubles understanding or listening to or receiving direction and guidance from the Holy Spirit. So the problem is left with two other components of this part of this particular chain of events. From the source, there is no problem. Now, so the problem will probably be with the conveying medium, which is referred to as the path, or the problem is with the receiver. May I say something quickly before I move forward? That the Spirit of the living God that gives guidance and direction lives within our spirit man. He lives inside our spirit man. So his communication will be with the spirit man. The Bible says the deep calls unto the deep. The communication that comes from the Holy Spirit, the speaking, the telling, the declaring, will have to be with the spirit man of that particular person or that particular disciple. And don't forget, we are spirit beings. We have a soul, we live inside a body. Don't ever forget that. We are a spirit beings, we've got a soul, which is composed of the mind, the will, and the emotion. And then we are living in a body. Now, I went into that because the speaking that we're talking about is the speaking at the level of the spirit, because that is the level where the Holy Spirit operates. There are instances when there have been audible voices, and there are instances when there have been visual imagery. But those are exceptions. They are not the rule. The rule about the guidance of the Holy Spirit is from the spirit to the spirit. Okay, having established that, we're saying that there is no problem with the source. The problem will probably be either with the path or the problem is with the receiver. And with that, I've identified three problems that arise from these other two components that we've just talked about. And I call them too far, too loud, or too many. Too far, too loud, or too many. That will probably summarize the problem that we have receiving from the source. What do I mean by too far? If you're communicating with someone and the person keeps moving away from you, the law of physics says that there will come a time when there will be not enough of your voice that will be getting to the receiver. Are you getting what I'm talking about? I'm talking here now, but there is a limit to which, there is an extent to which my voice will go. It will decrease gradually as you move out of this place. By the time you get to the junction, you'll probably not be able to hear my voice again. Am I still speaking? Absolutely. Is the medium still conveying it? Absolutely. The problem in that instance will be the receiver. The further the receiver, the less likely you will be able to hear what is coming from the source. Too far. What does the Bible say? God's hand is not too short that he may deliver, nor his ear is too heavy to hear. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. But your sin has taken you away from God, has separated you from God. There is a distance, a disconnect, as a way of the distance. You're still a child of God. God still loves you as a person. But sin is causing a distance, as it were, between us and the source. And then we complain that the source is not speaking, but the source is saying, I'm saying a lot. You're just not hearing because you're far from me. That's the problem with too far. Let's go to the next one, which is too loud. What does too loud mean? It refers to believers, you and I, that live a very busy, loud lives. You know, it's like the situation with Martha in Luke chapter number 10. We get ourselves involved in too many activities that we become really loud, so loud that we are not even able to hear what the source is releasing. This loudness is not necessarily coming from outside. So the problem is not with the path or with the conveying medium. The problem is with still the receiver, because the receiver is too loud in himself that he's not able to hear whatever is coming from the source. You know, in medical science, there is something they call tinnitus. I'm sure some of us have heard of, have read about it before. It's a condition whereby the sufferer is hearing a buzzing sound in his ears. There is no external person that is making the sound, but he is hearing a sound in his ears. And the problem with that is that in certain instances, it can go as bad as actually causing some level of deafness. Because the guy is not able to hear what the next guy is saying because he's hearing himself too loudly. That's exactly the problem with loud, busy lives. We're just encumbered with too many things. And so because our heart and our mind is in several areas, we're just too loud within. Let me give you an instance. Some of you have probably noticed that the only time when you get to know that you've got a heart beating in your chest is when you lay down on the bed at night. Light off, you are just there resting. And then you hear, boom, 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 boom. And as a man, maybe your wife has called you heartless. For the first time, you remember, oh, yeah, I've got a heart. Now, why? The heart has always been there. As a matter of fact, it beats about 10,000 times a day. But because you've been doing other activities, you've never even paid attention. You've never even noticed that there is a heart in there. Exactly the same way it is when we live very loud lives that does not have what we refer to as quiet moments, quiet time, then we can't even receive from the receiver. We can't even receive from the source. In other words, the Spirit of God will be speaking, but because we are in too many things, all at the same time, many of them legitimate. They are not necessarily sinful. They may be legitimate. Work, looking after kids, socializing with friends and families. Some of these things are not really sinful in their own, but because they take our attention, they make us to stay loud in our spirit, man, we cannot hear that still, small voice. There is a confusion of the fire. You know, Elijah's experience. The Bible says the wind came, the earthquake came, the fire came, but God was not in there. And that's a picture of a loud life. He's busy in his mind, too busy and too loud that he cannot hear the voice of the Spirit. To such person, I would say, slow down. Slow down. Get off all these encumbrances and create some moments to have some quietness with yourself. Create some moments. Kids on bed. Spouse in the room somewhere. Create some moments around you and make it a pattern, just like we're talking about. Schedule it into your life. Because those are what we refer to as your quiet time, quiet moment. You know, there are instances, and this occurs many times, when I drive to work, and I drive about 30 minutes in the morning, I just switch off everything in the car. And those are the most productive times in my day, sometimes. Because I just allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to me. I'm not thinking about a particular thing. I'm just thinking everything. And the Spirit of the Lord is able to minister to me at those moments. Why? Because I'm still. So the first problem, don't forget, if we're too far, we won't hear the Spirit. The source is speaking. The path is good. The receiver is having a problem. That's what sin does. Too loud. You're getting your hands in too many things, too many activities, that you're too loud within your spirit, man, to hear God speak to you. Finally, too many. What do I mean by too many? I'm talking about too many voices passing through the medium. Now, this is the medium problem. This is the pathway problem. The source is good, but there is a problem with the path through which the information, the guidance, the speaking, the telling, the declaring will get to the receiver. Because there are too many voices. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10 says, there are so many voices in the world, but not one is without significance. What that means is, another translation says there are many languages. I prefer to go with there are many voices. Because those voices may be voices of people, voices of specialists, you know, voices of experts, of parents, of friends, of the society, voices of the world, voices of the media, you know, voices of the devil. All these voices travel through this same medium. So there are too many voices coming through the same channel that it is difficult for you to actually pick the voice and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens to some of us. The Bible says, who has believed our report and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? There are certain reports that actually conflict with the report that is coming from the Holy Spirit. And so when they get into the conveying medium, they cause confusion to you. So you are hearing you're hearing the voice of your parents, you're hearing the voice of your friends, which are not necessarily bad, but they are conveying to you information that are not necessarily the information that the Holy Spirit will pass to you at that particular point in time. Many of us, when we have issues, the first person that we want to speak to is to speak to the expert and to make the expert's opinion to be above what is clearly written in the Word. That is a problem of the medium. So we have bombarded the medium of communication with too many opinions that are alien to the opinion of the Holy Spirit. So we can't hear him, even though he's speaking to us. It's just like you've got a couple of receivers in your room or a couple of radio in your room, radio receiver, and you tune this to 98.5, this one 93.2, this one 89.1, you know, and they're all talking at the same time. There's no way you will be able to pick out what one is saying or the other because everything becomes muddled up. And that is why I challenge people of God that we need to clean up the medium around us. You clean up the channel, the path of receiving from the Holy Spirit. What that means is you place emphasis on the Word of God. What the Word of God helps you to do is that it helps you to create a healthy environment in your spirit man so that the channel of communication is cleaned out. And that's why, you know, ruminating on the Word and feeding yourself in the Word of God and immersing yourself in an atmosphere like this where you hear God's Word being preached to you is not just healthy in the sense of the information that gets across to you. It's also healthy in the sense that it cleans out the environment around you. What do you listen to? What kind of information do you place value upon, you know? When you're going to work, you know, many of the times when you go into the train now, you see a lot of people putting some stuff into earpieces here and there. You don't know what people are listening to. But I tell you, whatsoever people are listening to will affect the kind of information that they will get from the Spirit of the living God. So as believers, we need to clean out all these things. I don't know whether you've heard about one of the reasons why the Titanic actually sank. The information that was released after this incident says that this big, gigantic ship actually sank. One of the reasons that was attributed to this to that particular accident was that the radio receiver was receiving too many messages at that time such that 15 minutes before this ship will, you know, will sink, there was an information that was supposed to be have been given from California about the fact that the ship was actually going towards the iceberg. But because there were too many information coming into the radio receiver at that time, and of course the guys that were there, they were so excited, so overjoyed by the mission, that they started not just receiving radio information, they were also transmitting information, radio information to others. The vital, the most vital information that was supposed to warn them of the impending doom could not reach them. And of course it sank. How many people's lives have been wrecked because there are too many voices that are passing through our radio waves and disallowing the wave of the Spirit of the Lord to get into our spirit man? So, people of God, I challenge you this morning. It's time to clean out the voices. Listen to sound messages, to sound words, to the things that will build up your spirit man and create an atmosphere of health and wholesomeness around you. Somebody says, it doesn't matter what I listen to. It does matter what you listen to. It doesn't matter what you watch. It doesn't matter what gets into your into the wave of the part of your heart, because that will determine how much of the Holy Spirit's information that you are able to get. So, too many, too loud, and too far. Finally, people of God, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, a casual look to that particular scripture will say, well, if he is the shepherd, and I am the sheep, then I have to hear him. If I'm the sheep, he is the shepherd, and he says the sheep follow him because the sheep hear his voice, then that is referring to me because I'm born again, I'm a child of God. But may I tell you, if you actually read that particular passage in between the line, and I think in previous moments we've had time to go through this particular scripture in details, this passage is talking about the sheep that is in fellowship with the shepherd. It's the sheep that has had time to stay with the shepherd. That's the sheep that hear his voice and follow him. So the crux of the matter here is not ownership. The crux of the matter here is fellowship. If I was to have a sheep, for instance, I go to the market, I buy a sheep today, I can cry from now till the kingdom comes, the sheep will not respond to me. Why? Not because I have not paid for the sheep. In fact, the sheep probably saw me when I was swiping my card. But that's not what will make the sheep to respond to my voice. What will make the sheep to respond to my voice is that after a process of time of bonding, he recognizes that voice. My sheep, they hear my voice. And that's the sheep that is in fellowship. People of God, every child of God is supposed to be a sheep of the great shepherd of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many of us are actually in fellowship with him? I close with this. Fellowship may sound like a big word, but it simply means spending time with God. It just means spending time with people, you know, fellowship, having time together, you know. Having time together. Our inner ears, the ear of the spirit, works just like the natural ear. It only responds to the wavelength of sound to which it has been trained. For many of us, we need more training of our spirit ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And may I tell you, people of God, that it takes time. That training takes time. There is no training that starts in the beginning of the day. And, I mean, there are some training that is just 2 hours, 3 hours training, and then they give you a certificate. But when it comes to understanding and responding to the voice of the Spirit, it takes time. It takes time. And that's why a cardiologist will check your heart and put the stethoscope there, and somebody will say, what's he hearing? What's he looking for? Because every beat in that heart is making sense to him. Every beat as they come through the stethoscope is telling him the exact state of that heart. Why? Because that ear is trained. When we were in the medical school, that was one of the things that we struggled with. And then they gave us the stethoscope. And of course, everyone, when we went to the clinical school, we all bought stethoscope. We rushed to buy stethoscope because everyone had to know that you're a doctor. You know what I'm talking about? So when we're coming from lectures, you know, you just hold your stethoscope like this. You know, you don't have any books carrying around. You just hold your stethoscope like this. And then you almost want to put it around your neck and, you know, just walk like this. The guy knows nothing, but he just wants to, you know, show off. You pass through girls' hostel, you know, so that they will see it, you know. Maybe that was what bookie saw. Praise God. But we struggled with it. It took us time to be able to understand what those sounds are saying. And it will take a specialist to even know more. I mean, because I'm not a specialist in that area. There are certain sounds that I may not even be able to interpret. What I'm saying is there is a need for the training of your inner ears, your spirit man ears, and that takes time. Take time with the Holy Spirit as he leads you and he guides you. I won't have time to go into the details of that, but don't forget, stay away from being too loud. Stay away from being too far. Stay away from allowing your path of receiving from the Holy Spirit to be clogged with too many information from various people. And finally, make sure you stay in fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord, because as a shepherd, he is bound by covenant to lead you. Shall we pray?